This podcast is for general information only. It is not intended as a substitute for general healthcare services. If you have medical conditions, you need to see your doctor. Use of this information is at the user's own risk. Welcome to FitRx with Dr. Greg Dennis. Join me as we challenge the standard sick model of healthcare. This is your source for everything health, wellness, prevention, fitness, biohacking, and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of FitRx. I'm your host, Dr. Greg Dennis. Hope everyone is having a fabulous day today. You know, periodically on this podcast, I like hearing some testimonials about how people have changed their health. And so I ran across this guy, and he's got a really good one that I think everyone is going to enjoy hearing. His name is Beldon Colm. He kind of considers himself a disease reversal expert. And so he now counsels people on how to reverse diabetes and cardiovascular disease and stuff like that. And he was once very unhealthy himself. I'll let him tell that story. And he got control of his own health and now counsels people to do the same. And so I'm just kind of anxious to hear his story and kind of what he has learned along the way. So Beldon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Greg. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, start us out, if you will, just at the beginning of your journey. Reading your bio, it sounds like you were a pretty unhealthy guy. And so take us back to that point and just what type things you had going on, and then maybe what the wake-up call was for you, and then how you kind of evolved from there into now coaching people.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, I was my first adult life. I divided into two. My first adult life, I was in construction management and everything that that entailed. What that means is you do your contracts around the taco truck, you do your scheduling over beer 30, and there's a whole lifestyle involved with that industry. And through the course of that period of time, I found myself gaining weight. I found myself losing energy. I found myself not feeling well overall. Never gave much thought to it though, because I was also getting older, and that's supposed to happen as you get older. So I've been told, and just never gave much thought to it. Every time I went to the doctor, I'd maybe get a medicine for blood pressure or something else going on, brought it right back to normal. So I figured I was in good shape. Until when I was 39 years old, I dropped into the ER with my first of three heart attacks. And the first one, they told me that I also had type 2 diabetes. That tells you how often I didn't go to the doctor in my life. I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes side by side with it and a few other things, and given a whole lot of medications. I was also given a diet, a referral to a nutritionist, an exercise plan, all of it. I was 39 years old at this time. I can promise you, I did not want to die at 39. I didn't want to leave my little kids. I was highly motivated, and I did the things. I did the exercises, probably went a little overboard on that. In fact, I took the medications, I saw the nutritionist, and I did all the things. And what I found during that period of time was I didn't get better. Some things improved. I lost a little bit of weight, but I was still fatigued all the time. My heart disease was fluctuating. I wound up just a few months later in the ER again, and one more time after that. And it was a very discouraging and depressing part of my life, because no matter what I did, it didn't seem to push me forward. It didn't seem to get me better and get me in a place where I could really feel I was starting to live my life again. And I remember a point in that period where I was sitting on a couch looking in my coffee cup, and that black coffee reminded me of how I felt. I just felt like I was getting sucked into a dark abyss of discouragement and desperation, not knowing which way to turn. And it was in that period of time, I started thinking about what the options were, what the alternatives were. And I've always believed that the body heals itself, that the body has the ability to do that. And I've always believed that food was central to that. So the wild hair I came up with was to go back, get back into study, learning, and dive could to biochemistry and cellular biology. And what I found out when I started looking at how food works, particularly how food works with cells, as opposed to what's in food, what energy really is in the body compared to what we're being told by food companies, and how everything really works. It blew my mind. Some of the things that weren't even difficult, but we're not taught them if we don't go out and learn them ourselves. So by learning what energy is and learning how food works and what food is necessary, I started applying this. And it took about 4 months before I was taken off my diabetes medications. It took about 7 months before I dropped 105 pounds. And it was almost 2 years from my diagnosis to the day that my cardiologist took me off of the last of 18 heart medications.
Wow.
So in a 2 year period of time, diabetes was gone, heart disease was gone, I'd lost weight, I had energy that I haven't experienced since I was a kid. And all of this happened almost 18 years ago. In the last 18 years, I've been able to live disease-free without any recurrences of any of them. And it's been a whole different life, a whole different world. I'm doing things at 60 easily that I couldn't have even begun to want to do at 39. I remember telling somebody when I was 39, it's not that I don't want to do things. It's just that I don't have the energy and the mobility to want to get out of this chair to go do them. And I just found myself bound that way, not a part of life, just watching it pass by. So it's been an amazing time since then and such a joy.
Yeah.
And what I learned led me to keep studying because what I wanted to know was how other people could do the same thing. And is this a fluke with me, or can people do the same thing? And that became the birth of my company, Nutritional Fitness, where I've been helping people do this for the last 18 years.
Wow. That's a phenomenal story. Tell us, if you will, you're talking about nutrition. What was your nutrition like before getting diagnosed? And then I'm sure everybody's wondering what kind of the magic sauce is with, that you figured out after, to where what was your nutrition like that when you started healing?
So, I was a typical construction guy. I got my McDonald's egg and sausage muffin on the way to work. I had my Burger King for lunch. I got home and had what I thought was a relatively nutritious, decent dinner. And I always kind of thought I was getting what I needed because of that. What I discovered when I started going back to school is that we are chemistry. Everything happening inside of the body is a series of chemical reactions and responses in one way or another. And chemistry really is not as hard as we think it is. It's really just three things. You put the right things in the beaker to get the reaction that you want, kind of a no-brainer. And I thought I was doing that. But the second rule of chemistry is you keep the wrong things out of the beaker because they pollute the reaction and it doesn't come out the way you want it to. And I was putting plenty of the wrong things into the beaker. Never, my law of chemistry, if you will, is to get of the right ingredients. Magic happens in chemistry. You get the wrong thing, balance of things, and it tends to flop. Kind of like taking a cake, and if you put all the right ingredients into it, but you get, 2 cups of salt and a teaspoon of sugar, what kind of cake do you get? Right? It's going to flop. It's going to be terrible. And it's the same thing with the chemistry in the body. We have to get the right things, wrong things out in the right balance. So I started taking a different view of how I put food into my body. I stopped thinking about cheat days and beer 30 and all the things that we have in our common vernacular that lead us to put the wrong things in our body and started instead just looking at myself like chemistry, right things in, wrong things out, right balance. And things started to happen very, very quickly from that point.
What do you think were the big things you were doing beforehand that were wrong? I mean, do you think it was more of just the processed foods? I mean, all the fast foods, alcohol? I mean, do you think it was all the above? I mean, were there some specifics that you think were worse than others?
To a greater or lesser extent, all of the above, but I will say this. When I stopped putting factory processed foods into my body, I started to feel better immediately, even before I understood how to do the other two. When I just made that one change, and that was the beginning of starting to realize what's in that stuff, right? We can look at a factory processed meal and say, hey, look, there's a steak here, there's some vegetables here, this is good. But when you get into the nuts and bolts of the additives that are put into that food and what those additives are doing inside of your body, it's a whole different look at how our food supply is in my view, straight up poisoned. But switching from that to real food, to whole foods that I cook myself at home, made more change than any other single thing that I did. The rest of it just improved on that change.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. What your diet looks like now when you made that change and what it's looked like the last 18 years. I mean, it sounds like you're on a whole food diet, which my gosh, I preach that probably more than anything else. I mean, that's exactly what you're saying is probably the number one thing you can do for yourself is just eat more whole foods. But talk about what your diet looks like now.
Yeah, absolutely. I developed something shortly after that. I did it the hard way when I started changing myself because I didn't know what to do. I had to discover it. But when I started working with other people, the goal was to find a way to make it easy, to make it simple so that people didn't have to overthink counting all of this stuff. And when I was in that process, I started applying a piece of knowledge that I'd learned when I was studying cellular biology, and that's that food isn't energy. We talk about food like it is energy. We're going to burn all of our food. It is energy. But the thing is, energy in our body through the ATP molecule needs very little from the outside world. It needs oxygen, it needs glucose or ketones. The rest of our food, what's it doing? The rest of our food is being broken down and reassembled into the cells of our body. And it was a way of thinking that changed how I looked at food groups. Because if food is energy, I mean, if you think of wood as an analogy, if you're going to burn wood, it can have dry rot, it can have a few bugs, it doesn't really matter. You're just going to burn it. But you're not going to build your house out of that piece of wood. You're going to build your house out of the clean, nice, perfect board, as neat, clean, and nice and perfect as you can find. And if we look at food the same way, food is the building blocks of the body. Do you want it to have all that garbage in it when you're building yourself? So I started looking at food in terms of how can we make it easy for people to accomplish that? And I developed a system that today is called the four jar system, where if you divide food into four categories, and no, we're not talking the food pyramid here, but if you divide food into four categories, you can get everything that your body needs. The first one is high quality proteins. And what I mean by high quality is real. There's a lot of things that you can get in the supermarket that are pre-prepared, that are processed in various ways, that are cured with chemicals that you really don't want in your body. Those are proteins, sure, but they're not quality proteins. Quality proteins are going to come from whole cuts of meat that are untreated, and some vegetable sources will give you high quality proteins as well. The second jar is high quality carbohydrates, and it's the same thing. I stopped a long time ago thinking in terms of simple and complex carbohydrates because it's misleading. I started instead thinking of processed and unprocessed carbohydrates. Keep the processed carbohydrates out of your body, but the whole food carbohydrates, your fruits, vegetables, nuts, legumes, root vegetables, these are the quality carbohydrates that you're going to want. So you have proteins and carbohydrates, and then dark leafy greens. 85% of everything the body needs in terms of building blocks is found in dark leafy greens. So that's a jar we need to eat from every single day. And the last jar being fibrous vegetables, those things that leave strings in your mouth when you chew them up. Those are the most instrumental in creating gut health, keeping the body clean, and providing an environment where the rest of what we eat can be digested and processed properly. And by eating from those four jars each day, we get everything that the body needs. That's the right things in. How do we get things, the wrong things out, which is the second law of chemistry? And I ask clients, you know, if I said something that can't exist without a factory probably doesn't belong in your body, would you agree with that? If it just can't exist without a factory? And most people are like, yeah, I can agree with that. Great. We've solved law number two. If it can't exist without a factory, don't put it in your body. How do we get the right balance? And that's where we work with people to get the right balance for them, their current state of health, the lifestyle that they lead. But in general, it's a healthy, large amount of dark leafy greens and a balanced amount of proteins and carbohydrates alongside of it will get you to that point. So by using that in a very, very simple way, people can get what they need and avoid what's going to harm them and see amazing results.
Yeah. You know, we don't necessarily have to label diets, but a lot of people do. And so it sounds like kind of what you're eating is more of a paleo style diet, which is just real whole unprocessed foods. Would you agree with that, or you think it's a lot different than kind of a paleo?
Partially, and I would only massage that in two different ways. One is that while I believe that proteins and carbohydrates are absolutely essential to human health, my plate's got a little more than half of greens of one type or another, because we tend to overlook everything from paleo forward onto keto and caveman diet, you name it. We tend to minimize vegetables. Vegetables are a carbohydrate, and we're told to minimize carbohydrates. So vegetables kind of get stuck in with that. I expand on that in my diet compared to any of the meat forward diets. And the other thing is I started a long time ago for my own benefit, calling this a food plan, not a diet, because while diet is just what a person puts in their body, that's not what people have in their head. In their head, people think of a diet as something that you turn on and off for a purpose. I'm going to turn it on when I lose weight. I'm going to turn it off. And then guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go right back to the crap that made me gain weight in the first place. Right. So I tend to think of it as a food plan and more balanced between plants and proteins.
So most people, especially ones that listen to my podcast, have certainly heard of me preaching about whole foods, and certainly my patients have heard me talking about, real whole unprocessed foods. But doing it is a whole different thing. You can agree and the idea of it, but doing it is, and it is, it's difficult in the world that we live in. Everywhere we go, if you go out to a restaurant, you go to a birthday party, they're going to have cake and ice cream and brownies, and you go to a family get together and they're going to have all kinds of really good food. And so it is very difficult. I mean, you're busy, people are busy day to day, and they're out and about, and they don't maybe have another choice but to go through McDonald's, because that's just where they are. So how do you tell people to do this practically? Because it is very difficult.
I don't believe you can do this as a food-only plan. And that's the failing of even the better diets out there is they'll tell you what the food is. People start, people get some benefit from it, and then people cave to the craving. So they start having the emotional eating episodes, or they get overwhelmed, or life happens. And we never address that. And we have to. We have to address that, or we're going to fail every time. And so, when I'm working with people, I apply a lot of what I've learned through these last 18 years about how to address these issues. And I've developed a system that we call the 4D system, the four dimensions, if you will, of being successful in this goal. One is food, and that's actually the second dimension that we talk to people about. The first dimension is your purpose. What is your purpose that's going to drive you to maintain your motivation and to do this? Because if you get a solid enough purpose, and I say purpose, not why, because my why wasn't enough. I was 39 years old. If I can share a quick story here, I was 39 years old when I had the most powerful why I could possibly have. I didn't want to die, and I really didn't want to die. But there was a day that I was looking at stuff in the kitchen and I'm saying, Belden, do you really want to eat that garbage? You know that garbage made you sick. Do you really want to eat that garbage? And that dark voice on my shoulder, and I know you know what I'm talking about. We have these voices arguing in our head all the time. That dark voice on my shoulder leaned way into me and said, you're damn right you do. You do want to eat it. And I did eat it. And I went to bed that night in tears because that was a moment where my desperation turned into defeat. If I can't even beat my own brain, my own mind, my own thoughts, how am I ever going to be successful doing this? And why am I even trying? And I realized in that period that these two voices arguing is what prevents us from reaching not just health goals, but virtually any goal we find that we're struggling with. We're listening to these two voices. So I dove into finding out what those were. Where do those voices come from? What are they? How do they present? How can we control them? And that's where I started realizing that the why is too anchored in the past. Why? Because I want to live. Why do I want to live? Well, because I'm dying. This is the past. Purpose is anchored in the present and future. Purpose gives you something to strive for. So I started teaching people to ask themselves a different question. First, how do you want to experience your life? How do you want to experience it? I want to travel. Great. How do you want to experience travel? Because I remember traveling to Asia where I couldn't even set the tray table down to put my food on it because my stomach was in the way. So I'm having to balance my food in one hand, try to eat it with the other hand, try to not spill it on my neighbor in another hand. Is that how I want to experience travel? Or would I rather get in that chair and have a little extra room to even turn sideways and sleep a little bit? Right? Do I want to say no to the opportunities when I get to my destination because I'm tired? I don't have the mobility to do it. Or do I want to say yes to the opportunities and really experience travel? And when I started asking myself questions like this, how I want to experience life became my purpose. And then I was able to ask a different question. Instead of saying, do I really want that crap? Because of course I want it. I wouldn't be asking the question if I didn't want it. But instead of asking that question, I was able to ask, does this food get me closer to the way I want to experience my life? And curiously, even the dark voice said, nope, it doesn't. The voices in my head were in complete unison. No, that food does not get you closer to the way you want to experience your life. And in that state, I was able to start making the right decisions. I was able to make the right decisions without the feelings of deprivation because I wanted to choose the right food to get the life I wanted to experience. I started finding it easier to avoid food addictions and cravings because I desperately did not want to experience the life the way I was experiencing it. I wanted to experience it this way. And so all of the hard parts, and let's be honest, food isn't the hard part. You put the right things in, you get the right things out. You put the other things in, you get something different out. I mean, that's easy. The things that make it hard is all the stuff that lives up here. And by learning how to get control of that in a simpler way, I was able to get control of the food and maintain it for these 18 years. And so that's the first thing that we teach people. You're not going to be able to do the food until we get your purpose straight. And once we get the food right, we have to get the emotional experience right. And we have to get the mental experience right in order to make it sticky and make it something that you can do. So, in helping people, we work with all four of those dimensions to help people get into a state where this is not only something they do, it's a part of who they are. And when it's a part of who you are, you don't go to McDonald's because it's the only thing that's there. You start realizing there's a grocery store right across the street. You start realizing there's an Asian bowl restaurant right next to the fast food, things you've never seen before because it wasn't who you were. But when it's a part of who you are, you find out that you can do this pretty easily anywhere.
So I'm curious now that you've been doing this for a while and you're healthy, do you have some cheat nights? Do you have a pizza and beer night ever, or do you just not crave those things anymore?
I find that the things that I used to have don't even taste good anymore. And the more you keep your body clean, the more your body gives you those signals because what we put into our body is a part of our chemistry. It changes the chemistry. Our taste buds are chemistry. And it changes the chemistry of your body when you change the food for a long enough period. But in addition to that, if you were to ask me, do I ever splurge on something that might not be the best to put in my body? I would answer yes, but I've raised the bar of what I'm willing to put in my body so high. Because if I have that food and I'm left going, was it really worth doing that to my body to have that thing that didn't even bring joy? It's really not worth it. But if I go to that French bakery and they've got this amazing creation that's just gonna, float my taste buds into the stratosphere, am I going to try that? Probably. But the experience of that thing has to be high enough to make it worth it.
So you obviously radically changed your nutrition, and congratulations to you for doing all that. I'm sure you started exercising. Tell us about maybe some other things you did. I mean, people know I talk about intermittent fasting and obviously exercise and maybe supplements. I mean, were there other things that you did to change your health?
In truth, I haven't taken a supplement since I started this process.
Interesting.
And
Okay.
the reason that I haven't is because you're trying to supplement something that you're not getting in your food. It's better to get that thing in your food if you can. Now, I'm not saying there's never a time and a place where a prescribed supplement is the wrong thing. There's a time and a place where it's exactly the right thing. But if you can get it from food, you're better off getting it in food. I mean, theoretically, we could get every nutrient from supplements, but it's not going to fill us up. What are we going to eat? We're either going to eat garbage food that puts the wrong stuff into the beaker, or we're going to eat healthful foods that would have given us the right stuff anyway. So I haven't had a supplement in a very long time. Exercise I look at a little differently than I hear a lot of people. I don't believe that a person needs to become a gym rat. I do believe that a person needs to move and get outside and do things. I enjoy hiking. I enjoy canoeing. I enjoy getting out and doing things in nature. And to me, it doesn't feel like exercise because these are things that just bring me joy and I love doing. Put me in the gym where I'm bored, I'm going to be absolutely fatigued in 15 minutes. Put me outside with a backpack and a trail, I'll go all day and not even know I'm tired. So, encouraging people to get outside and to enjoy activity in for me personally. Some people love the gym and I think that's great. You should definitely go there and do that. But you should make sure that the activity that you're doing is something that brings you joy, not something that you find tedious. Because if it brings you joy, you're going to keep doing it and you're going to do more of it. If it's tedious, you're going to find yourself struggling the same as you struggle with a diet. So again, it's partly state of mind, but it's partly aligning our lifestyle with what we love instead of trying to fight what we love to create an artificial lifestyle, if that makes sense. So I've definitely found that as I've become more energetic, I do more things. I'm far more active than I used to be. Not because I'm pushing myself, but because I just have the energy to do it. So I do.
I'm curious when you go back to doctors now and when you pretty much reverse your disease, it sounds like what your doctor said to you, because I'm sure you well know that our conventional medical system doesn't even tell you that that stuff's an option. I mean, they could say, look, you can cure all this with changing your diet. It's going to be hard, but it's an option. They don't even give you that as an option. They say, here's a pill, here's another pill, here's another pill. So when you went back after however many months and basically you were healthy and you eventually got off all those medications, I'm curious what your doctor said to you, and even now I'm sure you go back for regular checkups. I mean, what do they say to you now?
Yeah, my endocrinologist and my cardiologist, both of these guys were interesting. My endocrinologist for diabetes told me when I started reducing my blood sugars and things were starting to come into line. And I asked him, can we reduce medications? He told me straight up, he said, this is a fluke. You're going to find in 3 months, everything comes right back up. It's just a fluke. I'm going to ignore it. He didn't use those exact words, but that's what he said. And it was a bit deflating. It's like I was working hard on this and it was a bit deflating. But when I went back in 3 months and my blood sugars were now completely in line, then he talked a little bit differently. Then he wanted to know what I was doing. Then he's like, whatever you're doing, if you can keep it up, keep it up. So it just took proving to him that this was something I was serious about, not something I was going to let slide, to change his way of thinking. My cardiologist was a little bit different. When my cardiologist took me off my last medications, he told me he didn't want to. He said, I don't trust what you did. And I changed everything about what I put into my body. What's not to trust? But those were his words. So I asked him, I said, if I came into you today and you'd never seen me before, is there anything in me that would give you a reason to prescribe these drugs? And he said, at the moment, no. And I said, great. Let's just get rid of them. And I promise, if I come back and I'm starting to go downhill again, give them back to me. And he was reluctant. But he went along with the idea, and he helped me out with that. And then when I went back to him, several months later, I went back and everything was still fine. And he started to become a little more, I wouldn't say a believer, but a little more supportive along the way. These days, I just get surprised. when I go to my doctors these days, and I'm pushing 60, I'll be turning 60 here in a few months, and I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have dysregulated blood sugars. I don't have cholesterol problems. And they're just like, wow, what do you do? How do you stay like this? And it's a little bit different and a lot more fun conversation.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. So you founded this nutritional fitness. So now you use the knowledge that you gained to help other people. Tell us, if you will, a little bit more about that and what you do there.
Yeah, nutritional fitness, I founded to help people see a path. I'm not a healer. I don't call myself a healer. I don't pretend to be a healer. I believe with all my heart and soul that the body heals itself. Our job is to support that process. And in that process, I don't diss on doctors at all. If we're being completely honest, doctors kept me alive long enough to learn what to do for my body to heal. I'd be dead without them. And every discipline has its place and its structure and its role. So I don't discourage people from seeing their doctor in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I encourage it. But outside of that, what are they doing? What is the individual doing to set their body up to have what it needs to do what it does best? The body can't heal if it doesn't have what it needs to do that job. So I educate, I teach people, I support people, and guide people through the process of doing that. And as I mentioned, we start with the hard stuff. We start with getting your motivation where it needs to be so that you can do the process. And then we're willing to hold people's hands when they get to the hard parts. And the beauty of that is when people are able to do something and stick with it after an entire lifetime of diets and failing and diets and failing and getting some result and then losing it and getting it and losing it, people are so heartened when they see that they can do it, they can get the result, and that they can stick with it. When people stop thinking, I'm broken, and start to realize that they're an input-output machine, they work just fine. They just need to get the right inputs. It's so heartening when you see the change in people's demeanor when they cross that threshold, and then they start seeing their energy coming back and feeling the ability to do things again. And they'll message me up and say, gosh, you wouldn't believe I just did this hike. Or I just, one woman said, she was so excited. Seems like a little thing to us. But she said, Belden, I just went on the first road trip I've been on in 13 years. I said, 13 years? And she said, I haven't been able to go on one. I was so uncomfortable, it wasn't worth going. And I love them. And I'm so excited to be able to do that. So that's the work that I've been doing for the last 18 years. And plan to keep doing until I'm not around to do it anymore. It's something that I think should be taught in high school nutrition, and we've lost that. We need to get that back to where people learn the process of how their body works again and learn how to work with it.
I asked a minute ago about fasting. I'm curious, did you do any of that, when you were just trying to heal your body?
Yeah. Whenever I get that question, I always have to ask, what does that mean to you? And the reason for that is when intermittent fasting was first a thing, somebody said, hey, Belden, what do you think about intermittent fasting? I hadn't even heard the term yet. And I'm like, what's that? And they said, oh, well, this is where you're supposed to get all your food in 8 to 10 hours, and you're not supposed to eat for the other, 14 to 16. And I almost laughed out loud because when I was a kid, that was called three squares a day. We never snacked, we never ate after dinner, we never, had anything before bed. This is just normal eating. But then, as people gravitated to intermittent fasting as a means to lose weight, then when it plateaued, they started doing it harder. And when they plateaued again, they started doing it harder until now. I hear people say, oh, I get all my food in 30 minutes and I fast 23 and a half hours a day. In the first case, yeah, absolutely. I pared myself back to three meals a day, I had those three meals a day in a time period that was reasonable. But what some people are calling intermittent fasting these days, no, I think it's absolutely damaging. The body needs nutrients and you're depriving it of those nutrients. So I think there's a threshold before which fasting or intermittent fasting is a wonderful tool that gets the body back to where it's supposed to be biologically. But if you pass that threshold, it becomes harmful. So to the question, I would say yes and no. I absolutely did engage in a method of intermittent fasting that brought me back to my roots. But I've never participated in fasting that starves my body of what it needs.
Yeah, I think that's well put. There for a while, I'm a fit guy. I've got a lot of muscle, so I have a pretty fast metabolism. And I was fasting a lot just for the sake of fasting because it was supposedly healthy. Come to find out, I was stressing my body out because my body needed more nutrients and I wasn't giving it, exactly like what you were saying. Although I do think it can be a good tool for some, especially those who are extremely insulin resistant. And just to help get those insulin levels down. So it's just it depends on the patient, but I think that was very well said. Well, very good. Well, so your website is nutritional.fitness, is that correct? Okay.
That is, and there's a button at the top of the page. If you'd like more information or to know what's going on, you can get an hour call with me just by clicking that button at the top of the page. No charge for it. I'd love to help anybody understand more about how food and the body work together and interrelate.
Well, very nice. Okay. Well, I encourage people to check that out. That's nutritional.fitness, and I'll have it there in my notes. And so, fabulous story. Just kudos to you for taking your health into your own hands. Most people don't do that. And they just, they're in that vicious, everybody's heard me say it before, but in that sick cycle of medicine where they go to doctor, put on medicine and another medicine, and they never get better. They never step out of that. They just continue to in that vicious cycle, and you stepped out of it. I mean, you learned everything on your own. Unfortunately, it's a shame, but unfortunately you weren't told that by doctors. You had to figure that out, yourself, but you did. So and you look fantastic now. So congratulations to you. It's a fantastic story.
Thank you. I think it's important for people to remember, in conjunction with what you just said, most doctors, certainly none of mine, ever said they were going to cure me. Never said they even could cure me. They told me they were going to teach me how to manage my disease. And that's exactly what's happening, is learning how to be a better sick person. Now, if you are past the point where your body started to break and you're having failures and that's the only path available, again, I love doctors to death for the work that you guys are doing. But if you're for that point, if you're not broken, don't settle for managing your disease. Take the steps to learn how to get rid of it. If you call it reversal, if you call it remission, if you call it whatever you want to call it, you can live disease-free, and you should.
Well said. All right. Well, as we wrap up here, I always ask my guest if they could give us one health tip that would make us healthier today. What would you say to that?
The most important two things that you can do. One is to stop putting things in your body that don't belong there. You can turn your health so far just doing that one thing. And that just means looking at ingredient labels. And I'm not the guy that's going to say if there's more than five ingredients, don't eat it. What I'm going to say is if there's stuff in there that's factory only, that doesn't exist in the real world, don't put that stuff in your body. You do that and you stay hydrated. Those two things alone are going to give you the biggest bang for the buck that you could ever imagine.
Great advice. Yep, that what you said just there would cure, or prevent, I would say, would prevent most chronic diseases that we deal with today. So yeah, well, good stuff. Well, Mr. Belden Colm, really appreciate your time and a great story. Hope people are motivated by this, and I really appreciate everyone listening. And we will talk to you next time.
Dr. Greg, thank you.
Thank you for listening to FitRx. I invite you to share this with friends and family. If you would like, you can check out our website at vibrantlifedc.com, or you can email me at drgreg@vibrantlifedc.com.